So let's go to John 3:16. We'll at least get that right. Oops. We're going to read through verse 16 and 17. Are you there? I'm sharing this here out of the Message Bible, this verse. So why are you doing that? That's what God told me. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And that needs to be our purpose, period. We need to just turn to neighbor and say, you got to stop judging people and just love them. Amen? All right, just stop getting righteously indignant. Really, I think that's an oxymoron. That's I don't have scripture and verse, that's my personal belief. I can't be righteous and indignant at the same time. So let's just be, if we're righteous, we're going to love and forgive. No matter what happens, and we're going to say what God says, no matter what comes. But look at Mark 11:23. Don't say that verse again, because we read this a lot. I'm going to show you something a little different, because we've heard a lot of variations of this. There's a lot of emphasis has been placed on different parts of this. But there's one part where I haven't heard a lot of emphasis placed. It may have been implied, but we're going to hit it, the nail on the head. This is after Jesus cursed the fig tree, and the disciples saw it, and they were marveling that what Jesus said actually happened. In verse 22, it says, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say to you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. The Phillips translation ends by saying, well, it says, get up and if have faith in God, replied Jesus. I tell you that if anyone should say to this hill, get up and throw yourself into the sea, and without any doubt in his heart, believe that what he says will happen, then it will happen. That's why I tell you, whatever you pray about and ask for, believe that you have it, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. Folks, we don't place enough attention on believing. We place a lot of attention on confession. You got to confess, and you do. You do need to speak things out. But as I thought about it, how many times did Jesus speak to the fig tree? And what happened? It had to obey what Jesus said to it once. Jesus didn't walk past and say, I said, no one eats fruit from you again forever. Didn't I tell you that? No, he didn't say, he said it once. God said, let there be light. Once. There was light. We're made in the image and likeness of God. So when we say things, something should happen. Something should happen. But it's not. So we keep saying and saying and saying, and nothing is changing because we're not believing what we're saying. See, already I don't know where I am in the notes, and it's okay. I'll catch up some sooner or later. But I've told you before, I did not play basketball. I was a basketball player. There is a difference. There's a difference between someone who goes to the park every now and then and plays, and someone who plays. Period. Period. Someone who can make a living playing basketball. But there were some things that I had to do to become a basketball player instead of someone that just played occasionally. I had to study basketball. I had to study it. I had to watch what happens in different situations and how you respond to it. I had to believe in my coach that what he was saying was absolutely so. And then I had to train myself so that my body would respond to whatever I needed it to do. It was ready to go. I had to get to the point where reacting to something on the court was not second nature, it was my nature. That's the way we have to be about believing. We have to do what we need to do. We have to get the information. We have to train our bodies so that when we're called on, we just do it. We don't have to think about it because it's who we are, period. It's who we are, and that's the place we have to get to. And really, we're not there yet. Say, so how do you know? By listening to all of you. I know, because we're going through things, and we shouldn't be going through it. Jesus said that if anyone should say to this hill, get up and throw yourself into the sea, and without any doubt in his heart believe that what he says will happen, then it will happen. Jesus believed what he said when he spoke to that tree. He didn't have any doubt in his mind. He said no one's going to eat from that tree again forever. And it had to happen immediately. You know why? He said, forever. No one will eat from you again forever. So if he left and someone walked and picked some fruit, then he lied. So something had to happen right away. And he didn't stand around looking to see if it was going to happen. He said it and he moved on. Why? Because what he said was just as good as it being done. He believed that. And it happened. See, I don't have anything against being taught, you know, on confession. We need to do that. I've taught on confession. I've taught, you know, you have to say what you want, what you need, what you're believing for. You do have to say it, but you can say it from now until the rapture. If you don't believe it, nothing is going to change. It's really that simple. On Wednesday, I told them about the 1973 Mets. That's Brother Robert's favorite team. And there were great expectations for them going into the season. They added some key players, and they had a good core foundation. And they started off great. I think they went undefeated in their first four games. But a season is not four games. Season is 162 games. And by April 30th, they found themselves in last place. No, not April, August 30th. They were in last place. And there's like this unwritten, baseball and sports have all these unwritten things that make no sense to me. And they're like, a team in first place on the 1st of July is going to win the pennant. And folks used to actually act like that would happen. And if they weren't in first place, they're like, oh, well, maybe next year. And so the owners called the Mets together to give them a pep talk. And somewhere during the pep talk, their relief pitcher, Tug McGraw, jumped up and said, we can do this, you got to believe. And thus, their rallying cry was formed. And for the rest of that season, no matter what happened, they would encourage one another, you got to believe, you got to believe, you got to believe. And they started inching their way up. All of these interesting things started to happen. Fly balls that should have been caught by the other team were dropped. I mean, it made no sense. The other team would hit balls that were going into the gap that should have been for extra bases, and somehow one of the Met players caught up with it and caught it for an out. I mean, all of these weird things started happening, and they keep inching up and up and up in the standings. And when the dust settled, they were in first place. But then they had to go, as Robert was reminding me Wednesday, they had to go against the Cincinnati Reds in the playoffs. Cincinnati Reds that year had the best record in baseball with 99 wins and 63 losses or something like that. And they were known as the Big Red Machine. The Mets were like, you got to believe. And threw a cog into that Big Red Machine. And next thing you know, the Mets are now in the World Series. Only a 509 winning percentage, the lowest winning percentage ever of a Major League Baseball team that won the pennant. But they believed. And things started happening. Why? Because it's a principle that they activate. Now, I don't know where they were spiritually, but it doesn't matter because principles work, period. And the principle is, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Not you might have them, you will have them. See, it should not matter what we go through. But too many times, we allow what we go through to affect what we believe, even if we're in the act of believing. You say, well, how could that happen? Well, you're believing, but you had not yet reached the status of a believer. Look at Matthew 14. This is the account of Peter and Jesus on the water. Jesus sent them on ahead. Sea was a little tumultuous, and they look and they see something walking towards them on the water. And their mind said, no human being can do that. So they panicked. They thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, be not afraid, it's me. And Peter, in verse 28, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water. So Jesus said, it's I. And Peter said, well, if it is you, tell me to come. So Peter was believing that whatever he was speaking to wasn't going to lie. And so Jesus said to him, come. And Peter got down out of the ship and started walking on the water toward Jesus. Now, at that point, did he believe? So he should have been good. Verse 30 starts with, but. Let me tell you something about that word. To a believer, but is a very interesting word. because it depends on its placement. If you say, well, God said, with his stripes, I'm healed, but I have this diagnosis. Or you could say, the doctors told me this, but God said. See, so it's one of those strategic words. You have to put it in the right place. And this time it wasn't. Said, but he walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. I'm like, why were you afraid? Why did he no longer believe? Why did he allow circumstances around him to change, cause him to change his not only his mind, but his attitude? And he started to sink. And he cried out to the Lord saying, save me. And we're taught, well, he took his eyes off of Jesus. He shouldn't have taken his eyes off of Jesus. Well, I have another thought. If I am a believer, it does not matter if I physically see Jesus or not. I believe his word because I know that his word has to come true. It has to be exactly what he said. So all I need for him, I just need his word. I don't need his physical presence if I'm a believer. If Peter were a believer, Peter was a believer, me, I'd been looking around, like, look at this water. You know I would have done it, right? You look at this one, it actually thinks this is supposed to scare me. I'd have probably stopped and started moonwalking or something, doing all these things on the water, just because I used to do, just to prove a point. It's like, you can't do anything to me. Look what it's doing to the ship. You think you're that bad? Jesus told me to come, and I'm going to keep walking. So it wasn't him taking his eyes off of Jesus. It was him not being a believer. He allowed circumstances to change what he felt about what Jesus said. Believers don't do that. Believers believe no matter what comes. They don't change their mind, Elise. They just believe. Why do they do that? That's who they are. That's who they are. See, I'm not married because I have a ring on my finger. I'm married because of what I believe about what I said to then Phyllis Gray. Phyllis. Standing right here in 1986. So whether I have a ring on my finger or not, it doesn't change my belief that I am married to this woman. Period. And I'm going to act like I'm married to this woman. Period. Because that's what I believe. And no one can change that. No one. No one. Period. Is a done deal. And that's the way believing should be for the believer. And we say that we are believers. See, some people can talk a good game, but you can't fool your heart. Sooner or later, what's in your heart is coming out. That's why Jesus said, believe in your heart. And one of the great things, this popped into my head, so I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. The great thing about being a believer is that you can believe for anything. Because that's what you do. It should never be a question of whether or not you can believe it. You're a believer. Believers believe. See, that sounds simple. It is. But there's something that has to be established before the believer can believe. And it's the title of this message. You want to get Wednesday. Wednesday was called You Gotta Believe. Today, what's the basis of your belief? So you have to get that settled. You need to know why you're a believer. You need to know what it's based on. See, because if you can't say why you believe what you believe, someone can talk you out of it. You need to know why. And you need to be honest with yourself. Do you believe because of something your mama said? Something they said? Something you read? Heard on TV? Something the doctor told you? What's the basis for your belief? There are a lot of... See, folks, every single individual believes something. Period. Every single individual has believer potential. What's the basis for it? You have a whole movement out there now because there are people that believe God made a mistake when he created them. And they're acting like, and that's the basis for their belief. And they'll find some nutty things to verify what they believe. We have folks that will take the scripture out of context to make it say what they want it to say. But you're the only one that can decide why you believe what you believe. I can't decide for you. All I can do is give you some scriptural references as to what you want to use as the basis for your belief and why. So let's go to Hebrews 4. I think this will help you. I know it helped me. And I'm not stingy. If it helps me, I'm giving it to you. It doesn't do anything for me, I'm not telling you. I mean, that's... This is out of the Message Bible. Verse 12 of Hebrews 4. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. The Amplified Bible says in the same passage, for the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as division of the soul and the spirit, the completeness of a person and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and in judging the very thoughts and intentions of our heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed and revealed to the eyes of him with whom we have to give account. 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 15. In the Message Bible. Timothy says, stick with what you learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers, why you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There's nothing like the written word of God. There is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of the scripture is God-breathed. Every part of the scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. See, so based on those scriptures, we ought to let the Bible, the Word of God, be the basis for our belief. Because it knows, it covers everything. There isn't a circumstance in life that's not already been covered by the Word. Moses, Abraham, the three Hebrew boys, David, and Daniel, they all believed God without wavering, even though they were in the midst of extreme circumstances. Some of them were in a point where no one in their whole tribe, family, believed. Even the high priest. Think about that. Nebuchadnezzar says, "You'll bow down and worship my statue or get thrown in the fire." And the high priest bowing down. And these teenagers, wait, what's up with that? Oh, we're not bowing down. He said, the God we serve, he will deliver. I like the way the Message Bible says it. He'll deliver us from your fiery furnace or anything else you can cook up. Okay. Because they were believers. And it did not matter. They didn't care how hot he heated the furnace. I'm telling you, I know my personality. If I were back there and he heated up 7 times, he won't go for 10? It's not going to make a difference to me. I said, okay. Let me know, King, when you're ready and I'll just go jump in. Just give me a call because I'm not changing. I'm not bowing down. You don't have to trouble your guards. You don't need to tie me up. Just tell me when it's the right temperature, I'll jump in. Period. I mean, that's it. Why? Because the king had a question. Who is that God that will deliver you out of my hands? I'm about to show you. That's the attitude of a believer. Not someone who just will believe. You have to be a believer, and God's word needs to be the basis. They chose to be true to Proverbs 3. They trusted in God with all their heart. They didn't lean to their own understanding. There's too much leaning going on among Christians. We're trying to make sense of nonsense. That's what we're trying to do. See, if you have to make sense, it's not sensible. You already know that. Okay. So why bother? Why folks are figuring out, oh, this is what Mr. Trump said. This is what Mrs. Clinton said. This is what CNN said. This is what ABC said. This is what the history books say. What did God say? He's the only one that knows the whole truth. Everybody else is just telling you what they want you to hear. But we'll use that and make a choice. We'll choose, I believe this one, I believe that one. I believe, I believe, I believe. Then you get upset when you find out 2-3 years down the road that nothing's changed. But you believed. You've done your research. You've leaned to your own understanding and came up with the most logical conclusion for you. Believers don't do that. We have so much more than those Old Testament folks had. They just had God's word and or the word of a prophet. We have the word of God. We have 66 books. 5 gifts, and the Holy Ghost. They didn't have all of that, yet they were believers. John, we read John 3:16. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish. You think about that. If I believe, I like to say it this way. Since I believe in Christ, I won't perish. So if Jesus said, come walk with me on the water, I go. If he tells you to go over to Kabul and stand in the middle of the plaza and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Because I believe. I'm a believer. So I believe that I'm not going to perish because I'm doing what Christ told me. In John 6, the folks said to Jesus in verse 28, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Verse 29, Jesus gave him a very good answer. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. Period. You want to do the works of God? Believe that he sent me. How's that doing the works of God? If you believe God sent Jesus and Jesus gives you instructions, you'll do what he says. If you don't believe that, you won't. You'll come up with 6,853 excuses and none of them will hold water. I think about that. I'm like, okay, when I go to the judgment, when I appear at the judgment seat of Christ, what is it, and you've heard me say this, what is it that I could say to Jesus in answer to a question about something I should have done but didn't? What can I say that he'll say, oh, I never thought of that? Nothing. There isn't anything that I could say. So I might as well do what he says. So this way I'll hear, well done. I won't have to think of an excuse. Someone comes to you and say, well done. Do you have to come up with a reason? You just say, thank you, put a big smile on your face, and your shoulders square back, and you go on. But the minute they say, why did you make that choice? I told you this. Why'd you go that way? Get like Jackie Gleason, humming, 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 humming. I mean, but look at this in Matthew 8. We're familiar with this account. Starting at verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a Roman commander came to him. I'm in the New International Reader's Version. He said, Lord, my servant lies at home and can't move. He's suffering terribly. Jesus said, shall I come and heal him? The commander said, Lord, I'm not good enough to have you come to my house, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. And he probably noticed the expression on Jesus' face. And he said, I have soldiers who obey my orders. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my slave, do this, and he does it. So when Jesus heard this, he was amazed because he hadn't encountered anyone that believed like that before. And in verse 13, he said to the Roman commander, go. Listen to what he said. It will be done just as you believed it would. That's what he said. Hadn't even left his spot. Just said, go. It'll be done just as you have believed it would. And the Bible says that his servant was healed at that moment. Why? Because the Roman commander was a believer. He understood the principles of believing. When someone in authority says something, it happens. Period. Yeah, well, that's good. Yes, we know Jesus is in authority, but what about us? Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them have authority. What kind of authority? The same authority that we have. So that when man speaks, change is supposed to happen. But man has to believe. The basis for what man believes has to be the Word of God. And when man believes the Word of God, he's transformed into a believer. And then he goes through his life acting like he's a believer, and things start changing. Period. Because you believed. When you become a believer, what you say is backed up by God. That's why we have to make sure that we don't say anything flaky. In John 20, verse 30, in the Message Bible now, says Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written down so you will believe. Believe what? That Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and listen to the way this puts it, in the act of believing, have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it. There has to be, if you're a believer, there has to be the act of believing. It's just like faith without works is dead. If you say a believer, you're a believer, there should be consistent acts of believing all of the time. Why? Because it's your nature. It's who you are. And you can't help but be who you are. Period. One of the things when I was young, I used to like Popeye cartoons. And I just like when he say, I am what I am. And that's all that I am. That's it. He believed that if he ate some spinach out of a can, or really spinach period, nothing would ever stop him. So guess what he always had? He always found a way to find some spinach. If I could just get to this spinach, everything would be all right. That's who he was. And he acted like it. But I like this next one. I like all of them. But in Acts 27, this is about the shipwreck. I know you know the account. This is out of the New Living. It says, the next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage, none of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last, they're probably looking at him like he's got six heads. He says, for last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul. Why do you think he said, don't be afraid? Paul was probably afraid. I think he'd already warned them, this isn't going to be good, don't leave. He said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety for everyone sailing with you. So take courage. This is what Paul said. Take courage, for I believe God. First he told them why he was about to make this statement. Said, an angel of the God whom I serve and whom I belong said this to me, and I believe God. He said, and I believe it will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. See, remember I said that believing can't be second nature? When they were on that island sitting around the fire, a viper came and latched onto Paul's hand. Now, vipers, unlike most venomous snakes, they don't let go once they bite you. See, rattlesnakes, they'll bite and let go. But a viper latches on and keeps pumping venom. He's like, I'm going to make sure you die. And all of the people were like, back in the way, looking, expecting him to die. Paul didn't think, boy, what do I do now? I know I'm supposed to go stand before Caesar, but I never expected this to happen. Nobody has ever survived this kind of injury. What am I going to do? No, he didn't say anything. He shook it off into the fire and kept on doing what he was doing. How can he do that? He was a believer. He had the word of God as his basis, and nothing was going to shake him. Not even being bitten by a viper who in that situation, you know, they didn't have anti-venom. The best you could hope for is to have a real good friend cut a neck on and try and suck the venom out. And they weren't going to do that for Paul. He was a prisoner. So all he had was what he believed. And what he believed was enough. The snake that the enemy sent to kill him died. Not Paul. The circumstance that comes to stop you will get stopped. And not you. If you are a believer and you're acting like it, I got to show you this one and then I'll unhook. John 16, in the Message Bible. See, because if for whatever reason you forget what the word says, or you read something in the word and you don't quite understand it, God has already made provisions for that. There's someone we know, they have a habit, they're always saying, I don't understand. God has given you every provision so that you'll have understanding if you avail yourself of it. In John 16, he said, but when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. Not some truth, all the truth there is. The Holy Ghost will take you by the hand and guide you to it. That he won't draw attention to himself, but listen to this, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed, out of all that I have done and said. So we have the whole, when all else fails, we have the Holy Ghost who will guide us into all truth. And if a situation pops up that wants you to say you don't believe, before that thought can really get into your head, the Holy Ghost will say, remember, you're a believer, and this is what Jesus told you. And you're like, that's right, let's go. Because things are going to come. But our nature, our first response needs to be, I'm a believer. You could even insert that word there. But I'm a believer. Yeah, I know what you said. But I'm a believer. Yes, yeah, so I don't. Okay, fine. They found some mosquitoes that had the Zika virus. I'm a believer. I'm not going to run and hide from going places God wants me to go because I might get bitten by a mosquito. If it bites me, it'll suffer the same fate as that serpent. Even a little mini fire needs to puff in the air. It's going to go. Why? I'm a believer. I'm not moved by those reports. And if you think about it, every single year, there's something. There's something. It's either an insect virus or a bird virus or a chicken virus, whatever it is. But every single year, the enemy sends something for you to get concerned and go against crosswise of who you say you are. Not anymore. Tell your neighbor, say, you're going to be a believiologist. All you're going to do is believe. And you're going to know, you know why you believe. You know what your basis of your belief is. See, I'm going to say this again because I just like it. Being a believer means, oh, I didn't say this yet. Being a believer means that you always maintain your faith, confidence, conviction, and trust in God no matter what. That's what a believer does. You got to believe. Deborah, you'll probably, Deacon Deborah will probably like this. But with apologies to the Pointer Sisters, but you got to believe in something. Why not believe in him? You got to believe in something. Why not believe God's word? It's the only truth there is. We don't need the same rallying cry that the 73 Mets had. We don't have to say we gotta believe. We're believers. We already believe. And get in the habit. And, you know, the enemy, he's going to come up with an opportunity for you to prove that you received this morning. When something comes up, use our power word. Yeah, but I'm a believer. You must have forgotten that. I'm a believer. I don't have a problem saying bring it on. You know why? I'm a believer. That's the way in the world, I believe that mommy could handle anything, anyone. And I acted like it. To the point where, as a high school senior, not a freshman, a high school senior, at that time I was 6'4, I was about 230 pounds. No, then I was 225 pounds. High school senior. And I would not cut school. I went home when mommy said, go home, because mommy said so. And I didn't come up with any corny excuses. Foots, why aren't you going? Mommy said, come home. He said, oh, mommy said? Yeah. Oh, what are you, a mama's boy? Pretty much. But then I got serious for a moment. I said, well, let me tell you something. On my worst day, if we fight, I have a 50-50 chance of winning the fight, but I happen to feel very good today. But you need to understand something. If we fight and you win, mommy will come after you. I'm a God's boy. You want to? Oh, you want those Jesus freaks? Who, if you want to say that? He's my Lord. He's my Savior. But let me tell you something. If you keep messing with me, he's going to come after you. Now, I'm going to pray that doesn't happen because I love you and I got a responsibility to pray for you. But if you keep trying to stop me from doing what he said, he will move you out of the way. Done. Done. And then you keep on going. Believers don't stop. As I said earlier, we are fearless. We are relentless. We keep going until we get to the place where God told us to go. And then when we get there, we start looking for the next assignment. Okay, Lord, we did this. What's next? And then you go about doing that. Tell your name, say, I'm a believer. I believe God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter how many days there are in a year, leap year, regular year, I believe God, and I act like it. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and shout hallelujah to God. We're believers, folks. Dan, will we by chance have that song by Shekinah Glory? We're a band of believers. Because if we have it, we're going to play that song. Can you find it on YouTube? No. What'd you say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. All right. Hey, see, on September 6th or 10th, I'm not quite remembering which day it was, God gave me Jeremiah 1 in the Message Bible. And part of that says, I will make every word that I give you come to pass. I believe that. So I believe if he dropped down in my spirit, band of believers, somehow we're going to hear it before we leave here. I mean, that's, yes. Yes.
Like you said,
2006. The day I was ordained. That morning. That's when he said to me, say exactly what I tell you, because it's in the scripture. He didn't make this up. It says, say exactly what I tell you to say. Don't pull any punches or I will pull you from the lineup. That's what it says in that passage. Guess what? I believed it. So if he tells me to say it, I'm going to say it. If he doesn't tell me to say it, I'm not going to say it. If there are things that I want to say or feel a need to say, I might tell you. But I'll preface it by saying, this is my opinion. You know, and I guess that's okay because that's what Dad did, Pastor Clinton. He'll tell you in a minute. This is my opinion, folks. And this is what my opinion is based on. But we need word. We need truth. We don't need opinions. That's why I try very hard to tell you what the word says and what God shows me. See, there are a lot of things that he's shown me, and it's had me present it in a manner that may be a little different than what we've previously been taught. But see, the enemy has changed up his tactics. He's intensified. He sends things in waves. You don't have time to recover from one to deal with another. That just keeps coming. So we have to be in a different place spiritually and mentally. And we have to understand what the scripture is saying. Yes, we have to confess, but our confession won't mean a thing if it's not backed up by our belief. Yo, just play a song.